Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on? We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today, our shot is brought to you by our friends at Black Raven Brewing. And today, we toast the entire country of Belgium. Keep in mind, Belgium's education system is routinely ranked in the top 10 countries in the world. There's about 192 countries. You're doing well. And they perform above average in science, mathematics, reading, all the stuff that you hope your kids do well in. That, however, does not mean that they are smart. Case in point, the food agency in Belgium, they have just issued a seasonal health warning based on a book that recently came out. So the food agency, they have had to explain not to follow the book's advice after several people, adults, mind you, this is not like a TikTok challenge, this is adults, they got sick following the book's advice. The book in question is titled, and I'm not making this up, How to Eat Your Christmas Tree. And in this post-Christmas tree season, it seems that a lot of people did not want to compost. They took this book's advice and started making the meals that the book suggested with all the different Christmas tree recipes. The problem is, a lot of these trees are treated with pesticide, right, etc. And even if that wasn't the case, it's a pine tree. If pine trees were that tasty, we'd eat them all the time. They grow pretty much everywhere. Did you see any pine trees in Africa?
No.
Okay. I've never been anywhere where I've not seen a pine tree. Even when I get to Mexico, between the airport and the hotel, I'm like, I'll be damned, there's a pine tree. So just so you know, don't eat your pine tree, even though there's a book, and it's a legitimate cookbook, How to Eat Your Christmas Tree.
No.
Thank you, Belgium, for the update. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze, because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Steve Throw Hill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. And, of course, our caller has dropped off. So, gentlemen, you'll be playing against one another. You have your choice of one of three categories. Today, we offer you interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. Animalize This, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem. And finally today, License to Spill, where you guess the substance that made the mess.
I guess we'll go License to Spill.
Always a cat. Always, never a monkey, not a dog, not a horse, always a cat. A crash involving a tanker truck caused a main highway to become covered in liquid. The Maine State Police said the tanker truck went off the road after a crash involving a truck hauling a traffic director trailer in a construction zone in the northbound lanes of I-295. Now, the crash caused the tanker to spill about 9,000 gallons of liquid, and that spilled across the highway. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection was summoned to help clean up the materials. Now, the tanker driver was cited for failing to maintain control of a motor vehicle and failing to yield to a highway maintenance vehicle. That's what I like most about the story today. You're driving behind the thing that has the trailer with the yellow arrows and all the rest of it, and that's what you hit. But be that as it may, what was the liquid that spilled out of the truck and onto the highway? Was it milk? Was it diesel fuel? Was it sewage water? Or was it maple syrup? Milk, diesel fuel, sewage water, or maple syrup. What do you think spilled out of the tanker 9,000 gallons across the highway?
Does it say where this story was from again?
It's in Maine.
Maine. I think it's maple syrup. It's close enough north.
Yeah.
I think it's
syrup.
I think Maine is our main source of real maple syrup.
Is it Maine or Vermont? I feel it's one of those two, but I don't know.
Could be Vermont. That's a good point.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
Ted, I'm going sewage.
Was it heading north or south on I-295?
I'm going to see. Hold on. Ba-ba-ba.
Could have been just 95.
I track with what you're going for here. It was in the northbound lanes.
It's milk.
Ooh, milk.
Milk.
You going milk?
Okay. Yep.
You switching to Miles?
No, sewage water.
Ah, okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, we're going to find out what 9,000 gallons of spilled on the highway. Was it milk, diesel fuel, sewage water, or maple syrup next?
That was a tease.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Category is unlicensed to spill on profile this week. Hit the main. In a crash involving a tanker truck caused a load of liquid to spill 9,000 gallons.
Yes.
Of whatever it was on the highway. Question is, what were they having to clean up there? Was it milk, diesel fuel, sewage water, or maple syrup?
And we will start with Mike Hawk.
Ah.
Went with, was it milk?
Maple syrup.
Oh, you went with maple syrup.
Damn it.
It was not maple. Not a bad guess, though. It was, in fact, Maine. Ted, you went with milk. You were thinking maple syrup, but I like where your head was at. Said, were they headed southbound, which means it might be coming from Canada, or are they northbound? Maybe they don't need maple syrup up there. And you, in fact, guessed the maple syrup, or not maple syrup. Jesus, I'm getting it all mixed up. Either way, you were wrong.
All right.
It wasn't milk. And Miles, you went with sewage because that's where your head is at.
Yep.
And you are correct.
Sweet.
Sweet, sweet sewage.
Sewage.
Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right. Choices today. Had a little paper jam, boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, it's the most annoying thing.
Yeah, it's all right, though. I sent it in another form. I can try to read them off.
Yeah, hang on.
All right. Choices will be the Jimmys,
Fallon and Kimmel.
See, the problem is the way I sent it to Mike. It's all in one long giant paragraph.
Right.
Thank you, Mike. So we got the Jimmys. We got Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, or you know, I would say me, but you know, Mike's out there grabbing it off the printer right now.
Trying to make sure you got them all covered there.
Trying to make sure. You know, I should have printed it off earlier, and then I went and I tore the paper out of the paper jam. I said, close the door. Close the door. I said, paper's still jammed. Open the door. Nothing's jammed in there.
See, this one I don't get about printers, right? It's always the same thing. It'll tell you, I can't print this because you're out of magenta. I'm like, I'm printing it in black and white. It says, I know you're printing it in black and white, but I like magenta in me. And until you put magenta in me, I will not print your black and white thing that requires no magenta. And then with the paper jams, inevitably.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, there we go.
Yes.
Game the choices or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it late night?
It's right there. The title. These guys have teams of talents and modern writers that often come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke from whom, or could it be the Ted Smith original?
A consumer electronics show kicked off in Las Vegas, and one company has invented a vacuum with a robotic arm that could suck up small objects. Guys were like, yeah, vacuuming. That's definitely what I'm using the robotic sucking arm for.
Fallon. Ted Smith.
That is Fallon.
The Consumer Electronics Show kicked off in Las Vegas, and one company debuted a vacuum with a robotic arm that can suck up small objects. Guys were like, yeah, vacuuming. That's definitely what we use the robotic sucking arm for.
Pornhub is no longer available in Florida. The state passed a law requiring users to verify they're 18 or older before they can log on. So Pornhub, in response, blocked all access to their site in Florida. Obviously, kids shouldn't be looking at adult videos, especially in Florida. In Florida, kids should be doing Florida kids things, like riding a jet ski with a machete.
Colbert.
Kimmel. Kimmel.
Pornhub is no longer available in Florida. The state passed a law requiring users to verify that they're over 18 before they can log on. So Pornhub, in response, blocked all access to their site in the state of Florida. Obviously, kids shouldn't be looking at adult videos, especially in Florida. In Florida, kids should be doing Florida kid things like riding a jet ski with a machete.
That is still a very strange rule.
What's that, Pornhub, especially for Florida?
But just, I don't know how you up that security.
It's either up to the parents or whatever. I mean, and look, kids are going to do what kids do. I would just say in Florida, if you want to see a naked person, open your curtains.
Yeah. Meta is getting rid of fact checkers on Facebook and Instagram.
They had them?
And users will have to correct any false posts themselves. Unfortunately, I have no idea if that's true since I read it on Facebook.
That's me.
Valid.
Mark Zuckerberg announced that Meta will no longer fact-check posts on Facebook and Instagram, and users will now have to correct any false posts themselves. Unfortunately, I have no idea if that's true because I read it on Facebook. And
it's being reported that Jennifer Lopez is keeping the $5 million engagement ring given to her by Ben Affleck, even though they're getting divorced. This ring, in addition to her other five at home, now ties her with Michael Jordan and just one ring away from Tom Brady.
Lee Ted Smith.
Yes. Well, I knew you'd know it, but it's good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Nah, that's not bad, dude. Yeah. That's not bad. And you're not wrong.
Wear them all out at once.
But these are failure rings. You know, those other guys, they have rings because, like, I successfully accomplished this thing. And with her, it's like, hey, I effed up again, but check them all out.
And I could fathom if you're a normal person being like, I want to keep the ring. Like, it's a nice ring, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I would feel weird. Like, I don't keep pictures of my exes around. So
no.
But for Jennifer Lopez, like, you're filthy rich. You don't need those rings.
I think to her, they're a trophy.
Maybe.
I really do. The older I get, and we're almost the same age, right? So she's been in my life for longer than I would care for her to have been there. But just seeming who she is, like, okay, these are trophy rings.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems kind of wild to me. Has anybody in here watched the end season with the AFC North?
I have not yet.
No, but I have HBO now.
All right.
So I'll be on board.
So it's pretty good. I watched it last night, and they do a great job of editing this stuff up. It's right. I mean, it's literally from last weekend.
Right.
So he's from the University of Washington. I think he's a rookie. He's an offensive lineman for your Ravens.
Okay.
So they're playing the Browns. It's the last game of the year. Obviously, the Ravens are winning. So the guy goes up, oh my God, how am I blanking? What's that?
Miles Garrett.
So Miles Garrett's been kind of getting on him. Miles Garrett is a freak of nature.
He really is.
Like last night in that episode, because they showed pictures of him at like 14 and 15. I mean, he's just a monster compared to everybody else. Just taller, bigger, wider. So anyhow, so this rookie signed a good contract or whatever. Just kind of a wholesome moment with him and Miles Garrett.
Hey, you in the league? Y'all winning games? Y'all looking great? Yeah, never nobody. I got you.
You got me?
Yeah.
Right, started with he just said, like, the play's over. They've just scored. And he's like, hey, I know nobody. Can I get that jersey? And I was like, Miles Garrett is like, dude, you're in the league. Like,
I like that. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you earned your right to be here. So
now I will also say, offensive lineman, that's a different breed. And I was at a wedding this summer. Where there was a couple former NFL players. Now, one of them happened to be a Seahawk player that was a wide receiver. Now, my other buddy's his ex-roommate. He was an offensive lineman in the NFL for 5 years. So we're getting food together, and I'm like, hey man, good to finally meet you. I go, hey, do you know him? Is there like a handshake you NFL guys do? And he's like, no. He's like, I was an offensive lineman. He doesn't know who the hell I am.
Running back, maybe. Wide receiver, no.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I wasn't a skill position guy. Like, they might know each other somehow. But he's like, you get me around other famous offensive linemen, I could be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. But sure. He's just like, he does not care. He was a wide receiver in the league.
Mm. So,
but they were all really nice guys. Let's see. I watched all Friends. I always forget. You guys did not. Mike, did you ever watch Friends at all?
I mean, off and on, my mom watched a lot of it. But I wasn't dedicated to it, no.
All right. So there's this famous scene where they're trying to move furniture.
Yep.
Ross is screaming and yelling. So he was doing an interview with Good Morning America, and he brought up that people still yell this phrase at him.
I get a lot of random people shouting pivot at me, which sometimes is startling, but also it's just a reminder that the series lives on, which
it
is,
does.
Which is
good.
Here we go, pivot! 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 Pivot!
He also mentioned he gets a lot of, we were on a break.
There's this
famous thing with Ross and Rachel. He ends up there, you know, they were on a break, but he ends up getting drunk and
hooking up with something.
Hooking up with, like, the waitress at the coffee.
Some of the reason anyone says, we were on a break. If you do not get laid, you might say, we're on a break. But if you say, we were on a break, like, oh, you had sex with someone.
Right, so she finds out, and it's a big deal, and he was like, we were on a break. I tell you what, that Ross and Rachel thing, by the end of that, that's kind of where I finished that series out because it was such a big part of my life at that point. But, like, some of that stuff got ridiculous.
And look, there's two things that will make me hate any sitcom that I've enjoyed so far. One is if you make the love thing kind of the overwhelming storyline.
Yeah.
And you kind of take away from the funny of the other characters on an ensemble cast. And when you introduce a little kid, that's when your show, to me, like, you got one season left. It's done.
That's why I stopped watching Weeds. It was about weed.
Right. And then
it's a love story.
Correct. Right. And her answer to everything was just sleep with the next criminal down the chain.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That's why I stopped watching it as well. Talk a little NFL. So some NFL teams for the playoffs have some giant-sized food items for the playoffs.
All right.
Kansas City Chiefs have touchdown toast. It's a massive brick of French toast with berry sauce and vanilla ice cream.
Ah, they ruined it with the berry sauce.
I will eat berry sauce on French toast, but that's about the only place.
Okay.
I like berry sauce in a lot of spots.
My name is Barry. I'm like, you like berry sauce?
All right. I don't know. I feel like it works on a lot of things. I also, that sounds awesome, but I feel like I want to eat that the day after the game.
Right. They have great barbecue there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, if I'm in Kansas City,
I want your barbecue.
I'm tailgating, right? So I'm not really going to the stadium for the food as much so as I'm going to the parking lot for it.
Yeah, the parking lot, I'm telling you.
I mean, they have a massive tailgate scene, but there's got to be people. It's still a stadium.
Also, might be freezing cold for this game.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it will be. It's Kansas City.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Giant French toast with berry sauce, vanilla ice cream. It doesn't scream football to me.
It does not.
It just seems like we're having a nice brunch.
I can see, like, giant turkey leg.
All right. Well, there you kind of go. Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles play, they got a pretzel John. John is a term they use all the time.
Right.
It's a big pretzel in the shape of the Eagles logo, and it comes with three sauces, including green mustard.
All right. I don't think I've ever had that.
Green mustard?
No.
Now, when I was a kid, colorful condiments were kind of a thing.
They kept trying to push them.
Yeah, but it never really took off.
No, because they tried the purple ketchup.
Yeah.
And people are like, they go, look, it tastes just like ketchup. Like, then make it
was
look
green.
It was, like ketchup.
They had like two or three flavors. We just had purple in Baltimore because that was the predominant color. And the joke was, we're going to sneak into Heinz Field and replace all their red ketchup with purple ketchup for the game.
But, I mean, take sports out of it. There was just a period, like, I remember being a kid, and it's like there was just different color ketchups and,
yeah,
I want to say, like, jellies or something.
And you don't need to, man.
No.
I just wondered if it had a different taste. Like, you know, Dijon is different than yellow, which is different than...
But they're, according to, like, Heinz, who, as far as the ketchup goes, they're like, no, look, it tastes just like ketchup. But even, like, little kids, you know, they put it on the fries, and, like, the kids mentally can't get past what they're looking at.
It looks like Barney's blood.
Right. Well, when you put it like that, yeah. Right.
And then down in Houston, they're offering bigger and Texas tamale. Basically, it's a giant tamale. Meat, chili sauce, and salsa.
All right. Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Yeah. Again, tamales are great. To me, that's just not, I don't know. I feel like anytime I got to break out a fork at the stadium, is that stadium food?
To me, no.
Depends on how they wrap it. Because you can
peel
like
it back. Yeah, like a banana, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. All right, let's see. We were talking about the other day about Nikki Glaser doing a great job at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Well, she was on with Howard Stern. She talked about some of the jokes. My. What's that?
I saw this video. These are some bad ones, man.
Yeah, so basically she goes, look, I scrapped some of the jokes I didn't want to use as well, right? What'd she say? This is the last time all of you will be in the same room together until the Diddy trial.
That's a good one. That's funny.
She said she didn't want the audience to turn on her. Plus, she had already had a Diddy joke in her set that she liked better.
I think that's a good one.
I love Conclave. It's about choosing a new pope. It was heartwarming. It will touch you so much that the church will have to move it to another theater. And they just say here, like, Catholic Church pedophile jokes kind of played out. Like, I don't know. That's a terrible thing that happened. I feel like it's game on all the time.
It kind of is.
Yeah, we are.
It's up to them to determine how that plays out.
Let's see. Glenn Powell is nominated tonight for Hitman. Who know, or who would have thought he'd be the second hottest hitman in America? Obviously, that's
she cracked that one.
What's that?
I think she may have cracked that one, or something to that effect. Yeah.
Yeah, and like they say, the Luigi Mangione thing's kind of died out, faded away, so maybe wasn't right to say.
Crack your jokes. I mean, whatever you do, people are going to get mad at you, right? You get reviewed the next day, so if you think it's funny, you might as well say it. And it's not like she's the one who said, I think he's a sexy hitman. Like, the universe the next day is like, ooh, did you see the guy that shot the CEO? He's hot, you know? I mean, one thing if she said it as her point of view, but it's like you're taking what has become the popular opinion.
Well, remember that one dude that got arrested years ago?
The good-looking dude.
He got a modeling contract, and then, I don't know, ended up doing something people didn't like. It's like, well, he was in prison.
But he was a felon.
Right? It's like, yeah. I mean, he's talking about hot privilege. Pretty privilege.
Mm-hmm.
They're all getting away with it. Michael Keaton was so great in Beetlejuice, and Alec Baldwin sadly did not come back to play a ghost because he was too busy making him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? And I don't know, like, in that, even in that audience, like, is there a ton of Alec Baldwin defenders?
Probably not. I don't know.
He's just one of those guys. Look, he's been in some great films.
Sure,
he's been hilarious
actor
on SNL, but he's always just come off as a complete a-hole to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't know that people would really, defend him or whatever.
But to defend. He shot and killed somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to that story.
Like, that's the point of the joke. You can't change that.
Thrill, when you were a child, you went to Mexico. What did you meet?
What did I meet?
Mm-hmm.
What did I meet?
Right, not a human.
I don't know.
Young Thrill. Or maybe you weren't in Mexico. Maybe you're like in Arizona.
Young Thrill.
Pokey?
Oh, yeah, man. That was New Mexico.
New Mexico. I was thinking you were in Old Mexico.
Not Old Mexico. The borders of the Gulf of America. I was in New Mexico with Pokey the Donkey, which was awesome. Pokey rocks, brother.
A lot of people like donkeys. Sad news. The donkey that inspired Eddie Murphy's donkey in Shrek, he passed away.
Who's the donkey that... How did a donkey inspire the character of Donkey?
Well, his name's Perry. Okay. He had been living in a pasture in Palo Alto, California since 97.
Well, they all do.
One of the animators from Shrek lived nearby, visited Perry for inspiration. He even bought his animation team to spend a few hours with Perry. They said Perry's handler said he was feisty and funny with a playful personality. I mean, he couldn't talk.
That's what I mean. Like,
he'd show his teeth and, you know.
Okay, I got it.
right.
Oh, Perry.
Pulls lips.
Former mayor of Palo Alto said Perry had a way of lifting people's spirits and bringing them joy, and knew when someone was having a bad day.
And might be the most famous celebrity out of Palo Alto.
Is it Palo Alto where Stanford is?
Is it? I don't know.
Not sure.
I think so. I know there's a college there, but I'd say Christian McCaffrey.
I'm going to go Perry.
Either way, sad news. That donkey Perry, dead.
Perry the ass.
James Franco from Palo Alto.
Is he?
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Palo Alto. I got a couple.
Okay, well, Perry's now third on my list.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Fourth on my list.
Ooh, sweet. Lindsey Buckingham. Mike, I know you love Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
That house is up for sale again.
What's the price on that? Did they tell you?
They're asking $4 million.
Whoa.
Even though it might
only
be... It's only, they say it's probably only worth $350,000 if it wasn't famous.
Right, I was going to say, either side of that house, what are those homes worth? Do they go up in value too?
They might.
They said
they shouldn't.
But basically, they're selling the house. They're sick of the attention.
Right.
It attracts 300 cars a day. The family had to put a fence up to keep fans from getting too close and tossing pizzas on the roof. The woman that owned it said, this was our family home since 1973. It was 52 years. So we're going to walk away with just our memories. It's time to move on. We're done. No reason to fight anymore. Now, I also like, she adds, I hope whoever buys it will make it what the fans want. They want an Airbnb. They want a museum. They want access to it. Go for it. And we saw this recently with the Goonies house.
Yeah. Right.
The couple that bought that just were like, we're massive Goonies fans. Come by. We don't mind. I think the neighbors aren't pumped they're doing
it. I'm sure.
Because it's a dead-end street, and they're at the top of the hill at the end.
Right. So,
go all the way up this thing and figure out how to turn around and come back down that hill.
Right. So I think it's the same thing with, like, Breaking Bad. Like, just people just like that show. Like, if you're in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, like, people are going to make a point to find it. Yeah. I mean, there were some famous athletes that grew up in my area, and I remember we would drive around just because somebody knew the house they would be like, that's the house he grew up in.
Right.
So, I mean, I just think it's whatever. It's whoever buys it, you got to recognize people are going to come by. They're going to stop coming by just because you told them not to. Yesterday, we were talking about Abbott Elementary. What returns tonight on ABC?
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's Mike Hart.
And tonight's headlines are brought to you by the fine folks at Sports on What. Like our top story, we go to Florida where we find one lucky officer. Body cam footage was uploaded and is gaining traction online of a woman that was stopped for suspected DUI. The woman is an employee at a nearby Hooters location and used her knowledge of persuading men during her DUI examination. The video shows the woman visibly and audibly drunk turn the tables on the officer, quickly coming onto him as attractive, given his uniformed state, saying that she would, quote, do anything for you, daddy. When asked if she would take part in the field sobriety test, even attempting to make out with the officer at one point during the encounter. This ultimately did not end without her being arrested and charged with DUI. No word on if she got the officer's number, which is also what she attempted to obtain during the stop.
Look, I have to arrest you, but here's my number.
Right? Because she kept putting her hands on him, and he was like, you need something to grab onto? And he just ripped off a page from his notepad and said, here, hold on to that. She's like, is this your number? Oh, my God, write your number on that.
Yeah, as I told Mike, like, it's worked for her in the past.
Of
course. Not with cops. Some right. situation she's been in or whatever. I was like, that's what drunk people do. I was telling him it's like Joe Namath years ago. He looked at Susie Colbert and was like, I want to kiss you.
Yeah.
Like, that line had worked for him so many times when he was blacked out drunk that he just said it on national TV.
Yeah. And we all saw it.
She was attractive, though.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, man. In that position, I can't say I wouldn't have folded.
In other words, you would have folded.
Yeah.
Well, here's the issue. The body cam.
Correct.
You turn it off. No, keep it on. Keep the footage.
The problem is he's already got her on there, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm just saying, in the old days before those body cams, I can imagine he'd be like, park your car over there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. You should sell that for your person. Just be able to pick one up.
There you go.
Just for those times.
There you go.
Hey, you don't mind if I wear the body cam tonight, do
it? Cool. Check this out.
Axios.
In other news, over to Boston, where people need to do better about checking their travel bags. From time to time while going through TSA, additional screening is required to get a better idea of suspicious-looking goods, which is exactly what happened here. TSA caught a bag going through the checked luggage scanner that appeared to be an improvised explosive device inside. They pried open the bag to find that they weren't exactly mistaken, as the device that set off the alarm was a few sticks of dynamite attached to a monkey figure that kind of resembles that one with symbols.
Yeah.
You know that one? Good news for all involved in the whole thing was just a Call of Duty game controller holder, but was confiscated by authorities by the end of it.
Yeah, they're probably going to go ahead and take that.
Yeah. And it's a monkey with dynamite put on the back of it.
I know.
It's like, I get it, bud. You can't take that through the doggone airport.
Right. Everyone gets it. You right. just can't take it through.
Please let them know that it's coming beforehand. I got a feeling like you might be able to get it through them, maybe with some additional screening and some double checking. Like,
sure.
It's just a novelty. But you got to give them a heads up because that's literal dynamite. No, they're not literal, but it's a physical manifestation of dynamite.
Dynamite, yeah.
It's going to get stopped.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
It is used as a bomb in the game. It is meant to draw, you know, through noise. And then blow them up. Like,
yeah, it's like your hand grenade lighter. You can't take that with you on a plane.
Correct. Your gun lighter. You can't do that.
Your switchblade comb.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Let them know. It's a great time of the year when snow is falling, which means that it's time once again to name snow plows. I don't know why we only name snow plows, but it just brings me joy every year. And our friends in Scotland are picking up the slack right now. Several names were submitted to name the snow plow fleet in the country. You guys ready for some of these? Here we go. We have Lord Coldemort.
Okay. All right.
Spready Van Halen.
Spready Van Halen.
Spready Van Halen. Sweet Child O'Brien.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Keanu Freeze.
I like it.
I like that one. Polar Abdul.
Polar Abdul. Nice.
What do we have in Washington? Sir Spreads a lot?
I think
Sir Plows a Lot.
Yeah, because it's Sir Mix a Lot, right? I forget which one it was. You're right, though. It's a play on his name.
Yeah.
How about Snowplow Informer?
Stone Cold Steve Frostin.
Steve Frostin, all right.
And, of course, in honor of the local Sean Connery, we have Dr. Snow.
Yeah.
For Your Ice Only.
For Your Ice Only.
License to Chill.
Okay.
And Double Snow 7.
Not bad, man. I like that they kind of covered honor their man, yeah. Sean Connery.
They did, man. But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
A couple in BC, Canada, had the fortune of finally receiving their wedding photos. The couple had gotten hitched, complete with all the traditional wedding needs, including a photographer. But while they had a photographer present to take photos, they weren't able to pay them for the actual pictures following the ceremony, leaving their pictures in the possession of the photographer. Until a friend of the bride randomly texted the woman asking if she was ever actually able to get the pictures, right?
Yeah.
Turns out that they had waited so long to get the pictures that the photographs were purchased along with other boxes of unclaimed photos by some rando who then eventually donated them to a local museum, which is where someone saw one of their photos, recognized the friend that had texted the bride, and showed it to her like, hey, is this you in the photo? Which is what created that communication, which is the roundabout way the happy couple were finally able to look at their wedding photos 56 years later.
Jeez.
Damn, that's awesome.
56.
It is.
Better late than never, right?
Right. Well-preserved photos. Because I was looking at that, like, how is it that you just go without paying for 56 years and then, oh, yeah, I still got it in the box back here.
Right.
These things have taken one hell of a journey. And the fact that by some happenstance, somebody's actually going through the museum that has this photo, that has this woman that they actually know, they'd look at it long enough like, I think that's Jessica. And then they send her the photo.
80 pounds lighter, longer, darker hair.
When she was trying.
And her husband before his comb over.
Those pictures look like the 60s, though.
I can believe that.
I looked at those like, God, you could replace my grandparents with those.
Just the clothes they're wearing and all that.
Oh, yeah, the hairstyles, the makeup, all of it, man. Men's Room Sports, you got NBA basketball on ESPN, NHL hockey on True TV and TNT, and college hoops on CBS Sports, FS1, and the ESPN alternative channels. As far as your weather, as you saw earlier today, the skies were relatively clear, and clear winter days make for cold winter nights. Mm-hmm. Things are expected to cool down tonight to a partly cloudy 38-degree night, moving into a mostly cloudy mid-40s day with some clouds and possible rain tomorrow evening. That is it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll see you next time for the first big dummy of the year. The head chef is back with Ted's Meat and Potatoes. Lovely Jolene is coming up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true, but in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.